We are on Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer, part 2. Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer means one Shomer gave it over to another Shomer without asking the owner. So we spoke out from the Gemara Baba Metzia, Lamed Vav, Amid Aleph. There was a machloikas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav said the words Potter, Rabbi Yochanan says the words Chayev. Rav says Potter, and last week we spent time explaining three shitas in the Rishonim. What does it mean that Rav says Potter? Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer Potter, that he's exempt. What does that mean according to Rav? We said three shitas. Let's focus on two of the shitas for Chazara purposes. Rashi says that all it means is that you're not chayiv for the actual giving over. It's not considered negligent to give it over, because I gave it over to someone who's also a bendas, a bardas. I gave it over to someone who also has seichel. So you can't call me negligent for giving it over. However, I'm only exempt from whatever I would have been exempt had I been watching it. So according to Rashi, the point is I can have someone watching for me. I'm still the shomer, I'm still in charge, but now I have someone working underneath me to watch it. That's according to Rashi. According to some of the Rishonim, the pshat is that he actually, the second Shomer, according to Rav, actually takes over the Shmira. And the owner, his only recourse is to go after the second Shomer, according to Rav. And he cannot go after the first Shomer. Even if the second Shomer has no money, that becomes his problem. Okay, so this is Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer according to Rav, and your potter. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Why does Rabbi Yochanan say Chayiv? Rabbi Yochanan says Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer Chayiv. What's so bad that you gave it over to someone else? So you mentioned last week you don't like the whole idea because very nice that he's considered a trustworthy person and everything, but I have nothing to do with that guy. I don't know him. I don't trust him. I gave it to you. What are you going and handing over my stuff to someone else? That was what you said last week.
Yeah, one other component is I know if you're negligent, you have the money to pay it back.
Very good.
But I don't know about the other.
That's another component. So A, I trust you. B, I know that you have the ability to pay it back. I've dealt with you in the past. Don't start now, you know, handing me over someone that I don't know. So that was Mr. Brass's problem, and he was mechavet to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, and that's how we paskin. We paskin chayiv based on that. But it's not 100% based on that. There's one other component. And the component is that part of the... This is a very important piece. It's going to sound technical, but it's not technical. It's very, very important. Okay? I didn't realize myself how important it was until I saw the Reb Chaim. There's a Reb Chaim here, Chedusha Reb Chaim Alevi. So he discusses this sugya. He brings out a point. The Gemara says that any shomer that wants to exempt himself from the owner, he tells the owner, "I'm sorry. Look, I don't have. I let's say I'm a shomer chinam, and I come and say it was stolen. I'm potter. What should I do? It was stolen. Nothing I could do about it." Right? So the halacha is that he's potter, but he has to make a shavua. He has to make a shavua. And this shavua is actually, turns out, is a very fundamental part of the chi of shmira. When the shomer takes upon himself the responsibility to watch the item, he takes upon himself a few things. Number one, I'm going to watch your item. Number two is, I'm going to return to you the item. And number three is, I'm going to return, if I can't return to you the item, I'll provide for you a shavua. So you're getting something in return. You're getting that I'm swearing that it's not mine, that I don't have it, or that it wasn't negligence. I'm swearing to you. So you have to produce for me either the item or a shavua. Okay? The shavua is like kind of the response to the claim. So that means that when an owner gives something to a shomer to watch, he's producing a claim. He's going to have a claim now against the shomer. The claim is give me back the item. So the shomer has to respond to that claim with one of two things. Either the item, or payment, or a shvua. Okay? So now, the way that Rabbi Yochanan says the point, why shomer shemasa l'shomer is chayiv, is because, like we said, the owner has a claim on the shomer that you have to watch it. But besides watching it, you have to give it back to me. You have to give it back to me. Either give me back the item, make payments, or make a shvuah. Right? Now, Rabbi Yochanan says like this. You gave it over to this new guy. The new guy, he can watch the item. No problem. Because Rav says he can watch it. You gave it to a trustworthy guy. But that guy cannot necessarily do the other functions. He can't necessarily swear to me and can't necessarily pay to me. I don't know if he has the money. But there's another point. I don't believe his shvua. I don't trust his shvua. And therefore, the fact that I don't trust his shvua makes it that he's the type of person you can't give it to him. You're not allowed to give it to someone that won't be able to produce for me a shvua to protect my asset. A shvua is... There is such a thing. I don't know.
Clearly,
right here. Usually, if you lend someone money, they have to make a shvua, right?
Right. I don't believe your shvua that you pay it back, so now you have to give back. No,
but it's assumed to be that when you gave someone the money, you're believing them to either pay you back or give you a shvua that it's wrong. So here, when you give someone over, it's atmehemnesli b'shvua. The Gemara says that you have to believe. You have the owner has the right to say, I'm only willing to give it to somebody that will either be able to produce back to me the item, or at least make a shvua to me that he won't have the item.
Why do we have to go so crazy? Why can't you can say that? Why can't we just say, I only gave it to you because I trust your shmira? I don't trust your shmira.
But no, because then it's making.
You have to trust everyone's shmira.
It's making that the machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan is a little more narrow. Rav says you do trust the shmira, so. Now we're going to say Rabbi Yochanan argues on that point. So I guess the Gemara wants to say, Abaye wants to say, that I would rather say Rabbi Yochanan also agrees to that point, theoretically, that I don't care who's watching my item, actually. I don't really care who's watching my item. What I really care about is the insurance policy on the item. I don't really care about what's going to happen while it's being watched. You watch it, he watches it. What I'm really worried about, and I'm giving it to someone, is that there should be enough insurance on the item, that in case something happens, I'm protected. Not that I'm the shmir itself. So therefore, Rav Yochanan is arguing on that point, that I don't have enough insurance on the item, because my insurance is the shvua. My insurance is the shvua, and the insurance is the payment. And if I'm missing in the payment or in the shvua, that's where Rav Yochanan is picking on. So the Gemara says, there's a big nafkamina of this. A big nafkamina. Nafkamina is, what happens if it was a person that you always trusted? You know what? This guy, whenever you go out of town, you give over your jewelry to this guy to watch. Happens to be, he's out of town, so you gave it to me. Right? Let's make it more clear. Reuven has a box of jewelry, and he's going out of town. Whenever Reuven goes out of town, he gives over his box of jewelry to Shimon to watch. This time, Reuven's out of town. He's looking for Shimon. Shimon's also out of town. So he gives it over to Levi. So Reuven gave over the item to Levi. Now, a week later, Shimon shows back up. So Levi will now go to Shimon and say, hey, can you watch Reuven's stuff? So now, right? And now everyone's bad luck. Everyone's bad luck. The box of jewelry gets stolen from Shimon's house. Everyone's a Shemachina. Assuming everyone's a Shemachina here. So now, can Reuven have a claim against Levi? What are you doing giving it over to another Shomer? You always give it to Shimon. You can't come and tell me that you don't trust Shimon. You always trusted Shimon. So you can't come along and now tell me that you don't trust Shimon. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says in such a case, he agrees to Rav that Levi is Potter because he gave it over to someone that we know that there's a relationship between Reuven and Shimon. This Gemara is a Gemara. Let's read it inside. It's Geshmak. What?
So why is there not?
No, because if no. But if the point is, if the pshat in Rabbi Yochanan would have been that I gave it over to you, you have no right to transfer, nothing to trust, then even this case would be a problem. Because for whatever reason, I didn't give it to Shimon. It's a fact. It's not a matter of trust. It's a matter of responsibility. I gave it to you. It's not within your rights to give it to someone else. So if that would have been pshat in Rabbi Yochanan, then even in this case it would be a problem. But now that Abaye is saying pshat in Rabbi Yochanan is based on this trusting the Shvuah, since you normally do trust the Shvuah, you won't have that claim. That's the point of the Gemara.
Nowadays,
I don't know the answer to that question. I was wondering myself. Now that we're making the Shvuah so fundamental, the Shvuah is becoming like a major component in the Shmira. And to the point that if you don't trust some Shvuah, then he's not a Shomer for you. So like nowadays we don't make Shvuahs. So how does this whole thing work? Maybe I would love to be able to get an answer to that by next week.
It's a big knock for me if we say we don't trust the Shvuah or we don't trust the
Shmira. Right, exactly. Because if you're not making a Shvuah anyway, right? Now we did see in the Poskim that he mentions the point you made also. First of all, the Beis Yosef says that this, that you're allowed to give it over to someone that Reuven trusts, is only if he's still trustworthy. If between the last time you gave it to Shimon and this time Shimon went to jail, right? Or Shimon was exposed as some sort of whatever.
Or even if you went bankrupt.
Well?
Even if you went bankrupt.
Right. So then you don't have this claim. Yeah, I always gave it to Shimon. But not, that was before Shimon was on the front page of the New York Times. And now that Shimon was exposed, whatever, I'm not interested in giving it to him anymore. That's number one. And then number two is what you both said, is what if Shimon lost all of his money in the meanwhile? He's still trustworthy, but I'm still not interested in giving it to him because part of my insurance is the shvuah or payment. He has got to be able to make both. If he has no money, I'm also not interested in giving it to Shimon.
There's a middle ground between the guy's out of town, therefore I couldn't give it to him, versus he's on the front page of the New York Times. Well, the guy was in town. I didn't give it to him. There's a reason why I didn't give it to him. I have not the trust anymore. He has plenty of money, and he wasn't on the front page of the New York Times. I just lost my trust in him. I had a bad interaction with him.
Right, he took your parking spot? What happened?
It's none of your business. What? Why I give it to you? I don't trust the Shua.
And the lotion of the lotion of the Beis Yosef is im achakach he'ani, he became poor, oy shenaser rasha. I don't know that it has to be a reason why. Here, let me read the Gemara with you. Page 7 in the booklet, the Gemara. The Gemara brings out the point. It's a Gemara that says like this. Hanuginoi. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's like 9 lines up, in the last 9 lines of the thin lines on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph on page 7. Hanuginoi. There was these gardeners. They would do their day's work, and then they would give their shovels to this old lady to watch. I guess her house was near the farm, and she would watch the shovels at night. One day, for whatever reason, they didn't give it to the grandmother, to the old lady. They gave it to one of the gardeners, said, you know what, I'm staying in tonight. I'm not going home tonight. So he finds, so why should we go give all of our shovels to the lady? We'll give our shovels to you. Shama kala behilula. That night, there was a chasana near the farm. So he went ahead and he said, you know what, I told the guys that I'm going to watch the shovels, but I want to go to the chasana. So I'll give it over to the old lady. Nafak azal afkedinu legabo da'isav. So he went ahead and gave it to the old lady. Ad the azal. By the time he left and came us and came back, igna marayu. That night they got stolen from the old lady. You know the case. Asal akame derav upatre. So Rav patred him. Man the chaza savar. Someone held. Oh, why did Rav Potter? Must be because of Shemesh and Masel Shemer Potter. Veloihi, it's not true. Shiny Hossam, the Chol Yoyim Anami, Inu Gifayu, Gabod Dahi Saf, Shalhav Gamifkadi. Here, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that even though Shemesh and Masel Shemer is Chayiv, but here the Shemer Rishon gave it over to someone who the Bailam implicitly trusts because the Bailam always give it over to that lady. So it's open Gemara about this issue that if there's a trust between the owner and the second Shomer, you're allowed to give it over.
But the problem is who needs the Amasa? Like, who is the excuse why they didn't use the regular person? It could be that we didn't use, in that case, the 5 people anyways. The guy's staying here, so there's no reason to schlep there, bring the shovels,
right.
Just leave it here.
Right.
But in a Hanami,
We would have given it to her.
But in the case of Rabbi Eliezer's case, the fact is that the guy always goes to his neighbor for the timer, and then he skips a house and comes to two doors down. He doesn't try to trust the guy in between who was home that day. So he has...
I hear. So you...
in other words, that case...
In that case, you want to know if it's a Suffolk and in your day, Prati... I don't know. It's
who, who's the... What's the... In other words...
I understand your point.
I don't know if you can compare the two to the case.
Fine, that's a specific case. I'm keeping it for the purposes of the share. I'm very clear. One case you trust them, one case you don't. In case where we don't know why you skipped over, we'll deal with a different time maybe. So this is what the Gemara is saying. Now, so it comes out that even though Rabbi Yochanan says that you're chayev, when you give it over to someone else, but not every case. There are plenty of cases that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're going to be potter, right? If you give it over to someone that the person trusts. Additionally, the Gemara says that when you give it over to someone, you have to assume that his wife may be watching it some other time. You even have to be assuming that his older children may be watching it some other time. Because he's not going to be watching it himself, actually. And therefore, it's assumed you can't, if something happens, and you come and ask the shomer, what happened? Say, well, I was at work, but my wife was watching it. Oh, your wife! 1 second, I never gave it to you. Who told you that I trusted your wife? So the assumption is that the owner has to assume that if you're giving over something to the person, his wife or adult children will be watching it, and therefore you don't have a claim that I gave it to someone that's not trustworthy. Okay? So now, based on that, based on all these cases, so we have cases now that even according to the person that holds Shomer Shemassel Shomer Chayev, we have plenty of cases that Shomer Shemassel Shomer is going to be potter. So what's the Shaila? The Shaila is, let's say you gave it to someone and he's equal. You are Shomer Chinam, you gave it to another Shomer Chinam, and now something happens by the second guy. So, and he's Pesheah, he was negligent. Who has to pay? The second guy? The first guy, both, neither. The first guy pays the owner. The second guy pays the first guy. There's a lot of different options. So I would say that if he's trustworthy to the owner, then what happens is it would depend on what we said last week. If you go like Rashi, you go like the Ramban. If you go like the Ramban, then if it's the same level, then the second person took over. And Rabbi Yochanan agrees to that as long as you're trustworthy. And therefore, this is what we call Uki Gavr Bachari Koi. I put someone in my place, and he's now the Shomer. So I would think that the halacha is that the first guy has to go directly to the owner has to go directly to the second Shomer and skip over the first Shomer. And even if the second Shomer has no money, now, he did not have money when I gave it to him. When I gave it to him, he had money. It's only now he has no money. If he didn't have money when I gave it to him, then you have your problem, which he's not allowed to give it to someone who has no money.
But
I gave it to him, and he had money when I gave it to him. So therefore, I was permitted to give it to him, and he was allowed to take over. Now, he lost his money after. That's a different story. Since he lost his money afterwards, now the claim of the owner is against the second guy, and that's it. Now, that's what I would have thought. And this is, in fact, a machloikis between the Shach and the Sma, but not here. It's the Shach and the Sma and Simon Ayin Beis somewhere else. The Archa Shulchan brings it down. I looked in the Archa Shulchan. He brings down this machloikis, Shach and Sma, whether when you give it over to someone who's trustworthy, can now the Shomer Rishon get out of the picture. Okay? And now the whole issue is between the first and the problem is I'm missing a point here because there's a case that they're not. What happens if? But at some point it does seem like that even in that case there's a claim against the Shomer Rishon. I'm not clear on that point, but that's pretty clear. Okay, so now let's just before we're gonna get into a Geshmak of Reb Chaim. I'm going to say over the question of Reb Chaim, say over the teretz of the Ketzos, and then we'll get to Reb Chaim maybe this week or next week. But let's just go in order. So in order to go do that, let's just sum everything up and look in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch is in Reish Tzadi Aleph Sif Chavav, which is on page page 39. Page 39 in the booklet. Okay? Sivcha Vav. Shoymer Shemasar L'Shoymer. Chayiv. So we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan. Now, one Shoymer gave it to another Shoymer. The first Shomer is Chayiv. Afilu im hu Shoymer Chinam. Even if you upgrade it, it doesn't matter. The Amar Lei, you can say, At mehemnes li b'shua. I believe your shua. Heich loy mehemen li b'shua. I don't believe the other person's shua. Afilu im yadua lakol. It says it's by Chavav. You see where I am? Yeah? Okay. Afilu im yadua lakol. Shehasheni toiv v'kosher yoyse marishon. Even if objectively speaking, everyone would trust the second guy more than the first, it doesn't matter. Because that's objectively speaking. But for the owner could say, I gave it to you, I don't trust anybody else. Hagam miu, this is an important case. Shomer shemasa l'shomer l'fnei hamafkir v'lemicha potter. What if the owner saw me handing it over? And the owner didn't say anything, then the assumption would be that the owner was okay with it. Otherwise he would have stopped me. So the owner saw that the Shomer Rishon handed it over to the Shomer Sheni. So then the assumption is that he's okay with that handing it over. Fine. Lefikach, therefore, im derech habaylim lahafkid tamid. Okay, someone said right there, before we go to Lefikach, okay, if you look, there's a very interesting shach over here, which is, the shach is the top right corner of the page. It's where he says, im hushomer chinam. So we're talking about a case you had no right to give it over. Says the shach, mikomokam, im pasha hasheni. If the second guy was negligent, rotza goyve mehasheni, ve'in yochol loymer lav bal dvarim didiat. Dumid gazav lo nisashu abaylim. This is a very interesting shach, very hard shach to understand. The shach says that there's an owner. The owner gave it to the Shomer Rishon. The Shomer Rishon, without consent of the owner, gave it to the Shomer Sheni. So we said he has no permission to do that, and the claim of the owner is against the Rishon. Can the owner go straight to the Sheni if he wants? So I would have said no, because the Sheni will respond back to the owner and say, I don't know you. I'm the Shomer for the Rishon. I'm not the Shomer for you at all. That's what the Nesiva says. Lav bal dvarm didiat. Who are you? I have no relationship with you. But the Shach says that since Lamaisa, you're watching the owner's item, you automatically have to respond to the claim of the owner. And therefore, the owner has a claim against both of them equally. It's just, the whole question here is, can the Shomer Rishon get out of it? But the Shomer Sheni definitely has to respond to the claim of the owner. So machlokes between the Nesivas and the Shach. Right, when you if a owner gave it to Shomer Rishon, Shomer Rishon gave it to Shomer Sheni, does the Shomer Sheni have to respond to the owner? Right, you can look at it two ways. One way you can look at it is like, I'm not your Shomer. I never dealt with you. The other way is, well, you're not my Shomer. You're a Shomer on my item, and therefore the fact that you're a Shomer on my item makes you have to respond to me. Okay, I just wanted to bring that out. It's a nice point. Okay, next case. Lefikach, therefore, im derech habayim lahafkid. Page 40. Tamid davar zeh eitz l'ashomer sheni. In our case, where Reuven always gives it over to Shimon, just Shimon happened to be out of town. Harei ashomer arishon potter. Now Levi gave it back to Shimon. He's potter. Okay. Now what happens? Now we're going to confuse factors. We're going to bring two factors together. By the way, there's a lot of limitations in this. It's only if the owner usually gives to the shomer that value item. Up to the value that you're discussing. Meaning, every time Reuven goes out of town, he gives his kid's bike over to Shimon. Now, he gave his jewelry to Levi. So Levi's like, well, if you give your kid's bike over to Shimon, why wouldn't you give your jewelry over to Shimon? No, I trust him with a bike. I don't trust him with the jewelry. There's no claim on that. It has to be that you gave that the owner has expressed a trust in the Shomer Rishon in the equivalent value that we're discussing here. That's okay. Now, what happens if this is where it gets complicated? This time, he actually gave it over to Levi as a paid Shomer. So he was looking for a paid shomer, and he gave it over to Levi as a paid shomer. So he's a shomer sachar. Now Levi decides, you know what? Last week when you went away, you took the jewelry, and you gave it to Shimon as a free shomer, to shomer chinam. So I'll give it back to Shimon as a shomer chinam. So I gave it to someone that you trust, but I gave it to someone you trust with a lower level of responsibility than what you gave me. You know the case? So the owner gave it to Levi as a shomer sachar. Now Levi gave it back to Shimon, who Reuben trusts, but he only gave it to him as a shomer chinam. No, so the question is like this. What? What?
He went down in responsibility.
Okay, but now let's work out the case. Let's work out the case.
What's the Shaila?
The Shaila. What?
Levi still has all of his
chiyuv. Levi still has his chiyuv of Gneva Aveda, right? But what if Shimon can make a shvua to the owner that it was Nensa, that would exempt even Shimon, and it would exempt even Levi, right? Levi's a shomer sachar. What's the only claim that Levi could make that would exempt him from his claim against the owner? Even if you're a paid shomer, but if an oynis happens, you're potter. Right? The problem is you can't make the shvua of oynis because you didn't see, but you gave it over to Shimon. Now Shimon can make a shvua that was nensa. Right?
What is nensa?
Nensa means that it would have an onus happen. Onus means something beyond your control, and the owner can't say, "Well, I don't trust Shimon's shvua because he's a trustworthy guy to him." So in that case, would you be able to take the shvua of Shimon or not? Did I get the case? David, did you get the case?
Yeah.
What?
The question is
the bottom line is, Reuben is the owner. Reuben very often trusts Shimon. Now Reuben gave it over to Levi as a Shomer Sachar. Shomer Sachar, the only way he can exempt himself is with a claim of onus. Now he doesn't know it was onus. So he went ahead and gave it to Shimon. Shimon's a trustworthy guy. Shimon's claim, he doesn't have to say onus. Shimon just says, as long as I wasn't negligent on Potter, because Shimon's a free watchman, Shomer Chinam. So he makes, but Lemaisa, what happened was an oinus. So he wants to make a shvua to the owner that an oinus happened. Would you be chayav on Potter on that?
Because Levi wants Shimon to make that.
Levi wants Shimon to make the shvua, and Levi wants that Reuven, the owner, should accept the shvua from Shimon. And don't tell me you don't trust Shimon, because you do trust him as a Shomer Chinam, so why can't you trust the shvua that it was an onus, that it was an onus?
Because the fact that it was paying Levi was like premiums on extra insurance. It's like an insurance policy.
Well, it was insurance, but what happened was it didn't cover onus, that insurance policy. And onus happened.
Shomer Sachar is only popular if onus happens to him. No, there's no onus that happened to him.
No, it is, because he now gave it to him, and we're proving that onus happened.
Maybe the actual Messina is
So very good. So the Rambam says that the Nesina, giving it over to someone with a lesser degree of shmir than you, is negligence itself.
Why is that negligence?
Because we learned... No. Because we learned last week that the difference between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar is not just in how much responsibility you have, but it is in your level of shmir also, l'chatchila. So you're giving it over to someone that has less of a level of shmir, even if he's trustworthy. What? So then you would say, very good, so I'm getting it. So you'd say, it's t'chilasa b'pshia, the sofa bonus. You're right, it ended up being an onus, but it started off as a pshia.
It's not a pshia if I'm willing to pay for it if there's an error there.
No, it is. It is, because that's always like that. There's a chiv to watch, not just let it get damaged and pay for it.
He's going to be shomer and better here for what? There's not going to be an onus now?
He's going to be better.
So the problem is, if it's a tchilas of a pshia of sofa bonus, is one halachia, it doesn't make sense. That's what you're asking. It's a look at this. It says, page 40, what? Vahu.
I take it.
Yeah, it keeps you quiet for a few minutes. V'hu shelo yamayit, v'hu shelo yamayit shmirasai, aval emiyit shmirasai, but if you went down a level, kigon sharishon, shomer sachar v'asheni shomer chinam, or the rishon is a shoyal v'asheni shomer sachar. Look at that, if you see on page 40, in the last line in the Shulchan Aruch. If you go down a level, the last line, it says, poisheya hu harishon. It's considered negligence from the first guy because he went down a level. So he was being negligent. And he has to pay. Okay, Avopik, etc., etc. Now, if you look at page 42, the first line gets very sticky. It says, but if there's Edim that it was an Ones, then Niftar Shomar Rishon, then the Rishon is Potter. If there's Edim that it was an Ones, we don't need any Shvuas here. It's an Edim. If there's Edim that it was an Ones, then the Shomar Rishon is Potter now. So the question is, if it's Tchilas of a Pshia of a Sofa Bonus, the reason you're Chayiv is because you were negligent, and therefore you're Chayiv for whatever happens, then why, even if there's witnesses, you should be Chayiv. And if you're going to say it's not Tchilas of a Pshia of a Sofa Bonus, so then why can't you take the guy's Shvua to say that it was an Oynes? What's the difference that if you prove through witnesses that there's an Oynes, you're Potter, but if you prove it through the Shvua of the first guy, you're still Chayiv?
Maybe the witnesses were able to prove that it would have happened to the first guy too, and the situation that happened.
Okay, well, that's a different question. The question is that you normally, if an animal just dies, we don't assume it's because of the pshia. We always assume animals die wherever they would have been, it would have died. It doesn't make a difference what happened. So that's another question. Okay, it's a possibility, but this achronim all ask this question. That if you're going to tell me that it's a pshia, then what's pshat? So there's a genius Chap over here from Reb Chaim Salvechik in the Sefer on the Rambam. He says a great shot over here. And to sum it up, basically, not doing it justice, but to sum it up, basically what he says is that we introduced the sugya today by saying that in order to appoint someone to be a shomer, part of the insurance policy is that he has to be able to make a shvuah to you. So the Shavuah of the Shomer Chinam is only about that he watched it properly. The Shavuah of the Shomer Sachar is more that, you know, nothing happened to it except for an oinus. So when you go down a level, what the Rambam is saying, that you were negligent, it doesn't mean it means that you were negligent to the point that you didn't provide for me somebody that can make the same Shavuah you can make. Because he's only a Shomer Chinam. So the negligence is not in the level of Shmira, but the negligence is because this guy can't provide for me a Shvua, and therefore, here's the main point, therefore, since you went down a level and he cannot provide the Shvua for me, therefore, you have no right to put him in your place. You cannot put someone in your place that cannot respond with the same level of Shvua that you have. And therefore, that's the point. The point is that you put someone in place, it's not really a Shomer. But if we have Edom on the Oynes, so fine, we have Edom. But we have no Edom on it, so then he's not a Shomer. So he can't make a Shvua. It doesn't help the Shvua. He's not really the Shomer anymore. So basically the point is that there's a big difference between a Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Sachar. Giving it over to a Shomer Chinam means that Lamaisa, the Shomer Chinam, does not take the place of the Shomer Sachar. That's the bottom line. And therefore, even though the whole lumdus of the sugya is that when you give it over to someone who's trustworthy, now you could deal with him. But when the other person is a lower level, you cannot put him in your place, and therefore you still maintain responsibility.
Why don't we go a little, just say that a Shomer Chinam doesn't do as much services as a Shomer Sachar, just by Metzias. So if I'm a Shomer Sachar and I am hiring a Shomer Chinam in my place, he's going to do a less of a job. So therefore, it's a step down into the Shmira. If we have Edim, did the better Shmira, not that Yeshla Edim, but Shomer Hasheni Kiroi, that he did the Shmira that a Shomer Sachar should do. He did whatever Shmira I was responsible to do. That's what Mechaber means.
I think the point is, either way, is that the Rambam is saying the word you're negligent by giving it over to someone who's less than you doesn't mean that it's a pshia like you did something wrong. It's a pshia in the sense that that person can't take over. That's the idea. The idea is that the whole concept of Shomer Shemas or the Shomer is that you could put someone else to watch for you. You can have someone else watch on your behalf. You can't do that when the person is a lesser of a Shomer than you are. That's really the bottom line.
So why does it say, if the Rambam means like you, why doesn't it say, in yesh edim shenensu? Why does it say, in yesh, because...
No, because once there's an edim on nensa, then the whole claim of the owner is out, because there's edim on it. So we know what happened.
You know what happened. It still doesn't You're saying that for sure, Pasha?
It's not Tchilas of Mashiach, Sof Avonos. It's that we know what happened. And the other case is that since you gave it over to someone that can't make a Shavua, so therefore, he can't really take over for you. Okay? So these are the basic svaras in the sugya. There's so much here. There's a lot of different cases, a lot of different things, but this is the basic structure of the sugya so far. I think in the next week, maybe we'll go into some more details. And then there's one more ikar sugya in Shoimrim, which is Shlichus Yad, which is if you use the item you're not supposed to use, what happens? That's a very interesting halacha. But in the meantime, we'll probably get a little further into this next week, okay? Shkoyach.